In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Easter is a holiday which is celebrated by, I don't know the statistics on this, but I would think most people in this country, and celebrated in quite different ways. Holidays are like this. They can have various significance depending upon personal factors. So you think of St. Paddy's Day, which we celebrated not all that long ago. For a lot of people, I think St. Patrick's Day is just an occasion to have a party. That's kind of what it is in our household. So we get excited. There's something in March to look forward to, and my wife likes to make a rich chocolate cake with sort of Guinness icing on it and, cabbage and corned beef and all the rest of that stuff. So it's fun. It's an occasion to do something different. And Easter, I suppose, is like that for many people. It's the bunny and the chocolate and Cadbury eggs, which you get that time of year. But then there are also holidays which have a significance that we can look back on some historical event, maybe some important, some noble historical event, and we reflect on that a little bit. And I suppose, again, some people, St. Paddy's Day is like that. They think about St. Patrick and all the wonderful things he did and what a successful missionary he was. But then there are also a third way of thinking about holidays where not only is it occasion to celebrate, not only do we look back upon something, but that something has continuing and present significance for us today. And I want to think this morning a little bit about that question. What is the significance of Easter for us today? Happened a long time ago. What does it mean for us now? And I think the place to start there is to think about this question first. Well, what happened at Easter? What is that event? And one way that you could describe it, perhaps not the most familiar way of describing it, is that Easter is about when Jesus became king. And there's this, if you look at Jesus' message when he comes in the gospel, what does he proclaim from the beginning? The kingdom of God is at hand, therefore repent and believe. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Or sometimes the kingdom of heaven. This is his dominant theme in his preaching and his message. What's that all about? Well, you see all throughout the scriptures, from the beginning up until the time of Jesus, this idea of God wanting to be with his people and wanting to rule in and through his people. And Jesus essentially says, I have come finally to establish that. In the resurrection, if you like, is the crowning of Jesus as king, as Israel's true king, as humanity's true king. As he says to his disciples before he is taken up, he says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he's proclaiming himself as the rightful ruler. And this kingdom that Jesus establishes, as he said, it's not of this world. It's not like the ones we're used to. It doesn't have a geographical border. It doesn't have an army that's going to wage war against other kingdoms. But rather, it is wherever and in whomever God rules. God's kingdom is made up of all those people who have said to God, I will do as you have asked me to do, and follow Jesus as king in that. And it has come for the purpose of restoring a lost humanity to fellowship with God, and then through them to restoring health and vitality and life to the world around us. Now, if you think about it, there's some strange things about this kingdom. As I said, it's not like the kingdoms we're used to. And one of the things that's very strange about it is that it is a kingdom that has strength through weakness. Jesus does not come as a conquering warrior, as people expected the Messiah to do, but he comes as a humble servant. And it is also a kingdom where new life comes through death. Another theme that Jesus announces over and over again in his ministry. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, then it produces much fruit. And in his own life, we see that death, the crucifixion, Good Friday, comes before the resurrection on Easter. So it's a kingdom in which death comes before life. And Jesus, the story in the garden that we have on Good Friday exemplifies this and really gives us the best example of it. He says to God, not what I will, but what you will. He is willing to die to self, die to his own desires, die to his own deep plans and say to God, what you will, not what I will. And that was the thing that allowed Jesus then to win the victory and to be crowned king of God's kingdom. Now, what is the significance then of this for us today? And I think when we look back at Easter and we celebrate that, we often talk about forgiveness of sins that is won for us through Christ's death. And that's true, and that's wonderful, and it's important. And we often talk about God opening up the way to heaven for us through Christ, which is also true and wonderful and important. But also, those things are incomplete, because not only did Jesus do that, but he also invited us to join with him in his kingdom. So he said, I'm calling you to something now, to participate in something now. And that kingdom means living in restored fellowship with God and allowing God to use us to be a blessing and a channel of restoration in the lives of other people around us. Jesus calls us to be involved in his kingdom as well. But here's the catch, if you like. Just as for Jesus, the way into the kingdom, the way to resurrection went through the cross, he says the same thing is true for you. The way into my kingdom is a way of death. Not physical death, but maybe even a harder death. Death to self. Self-denial. Jesus puts this in different ways. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Or elsewhere, if any of you is not willing to give up everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. Everything that you have. Your will, your desires, your money, your talents, your time, your opinions, everything that you have. Death comes before new life. And the entryway to God's kingdom comes through the cross. A natural question at this point, I suppose, is why in the world would anyone want to do this? Why would you want to accept this invitation? It sounds difficult. I'm reminded of a joke I heard some years ago. There was a man who was rock climbing. Since it's nearby, we can imagine he's on Devil's Tower. And he's one of those brave souls that decides to do it without any safety equipment whatsoever. So he finds himself halfway up the tower, and a rock gives way. And he slips, and he just manages to get a hold of his fingers, but he finds himself precariously stuck, hanging from the edge of the cliff. And as people often do, you know, about foxhole prayers, he says, well, no hurt in trying here. To God, I am in this awful pickle here. Can you do something to get me out of it? Much to the man's surprise, he hears a voice that comes from heaven. He says, let go of the rock. He thinks about this for a minute, and he says, is there someone else up there I can talk to? And maybe when we hear Jesus' invitation, it feels a little bit like that. Let go of the rock. Die to self. It's asking us something that's incredibly difficult. Why would we do that? I think if we can grasp what Jesus says, he says, you know, I'm not asking you something that is bad for you. Actually, I have come that you might have life and have it to the very fullest. That is what I am offering, and that is what I am holding out to you. Or as he puts it elsewhere, he says, you know, here's what's natural. You want to cling to your will. You want to cling to your life. He said, but that's a recipe for losing it. But he said, if you are willing to let go of it, to release it to me, then you will find it. And what we celebrate this weekend, the cross, I think is such a help in this, because we see in it God's incredible love for us, and we see also God's incredible power that works in Christ. And he says, I'm also ready for that power to work in your life. And when we see that, if God loves me that much, and if God has that sort of power, then we find ourselves able to say, maybe I can let go of that cliff. Easter, then, is primarily, I think, an invitation. It is an invitation to us to join Jesus in his revolutionary kingdom, which he has initiated at Easter. To know God through Christ and to be agents of his life and love in the lives of other people around us. But death is the price of entry to his kingdom. And it's actually the only deal on offer. I mean, when Jesus calls people, he says, follow me, follow me. Follow me to the way of the cross. I had friends in college, a couple of ladies I knew who were Catholic, and they explained to me, they said, well, we're diet Catholic. And by that, they sort of meant, well, we don't take it all too seriously, and it's kind of like a buffet, and we pick and choose. But Jesus, that's not one of the options. He doesn't say, well, there's follow me, and there's kind of halfway follow me, if that's better for you. He said, no, this is it. This is the deal. Follow me, which means death to self. And it's daunting, which is why he says to us, count the cost. Think about that. Count the cost. And I would invite you this morning to consider in your own life how you respond to Jesus, because he stands before you and he says, follow me. Follow me. It means death to self. As Joshua, when he was speaking to the people of Israel, said, I think so well, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, well, then pick who you will serve. But choose. Make a decision. Think about one more holiday analogy here, 4th of July. It's an event that for us as Americans, it is an occasion to party. It is an occasion where we look back upon an event that was a noble and inspiring part of history. And it also is an event that has an ongoing significance to us, that we continue to enjoy freedom secured for us then. But I think Easter would be even a little bit more than that. It is as if we were still fighting the British. And what we are called to on 4th of July is to take up our arms and to join in the battle against the British that is still ongoing. Of course, that isn't happening in this case, but with Easter, it is. Jesus says, this isn't just something that happened then. This is something that's happening now, and I invite you to join me in it. How will you respond? Would you pray with me? I wanted to give you opportunity this morning, as you're thinking about this and as you're thinking about Easter and Christ's offer to us, if you want to say, you know, I haven't responded. I haven't said to Christ, yes, I will accept this way, this offer, and you would like to do that this morning, you can just pray silently where you are after me and in words something like this, Lord, I thank you for your death on the cross. I thank you for your invitation into your kingdom, your invitation to be reconciled with God and to be agents in the world of God's love and God's power. And Lord, forgive me for going my own way and for taking my own will. And from this point, Lord, I would go your way and take your will. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and with your grace that I might hereafter live in newness of life in you. In Christ's name, amen.